Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the How to Start Today podcast. And today is a really cool podcast because I got the opportunity to hang out with my friend Mike and just chat a little bit about life and our priorities and goals. And we were just chatting and I was like, you know what, let's record this. And we just kind of spontaneously started to record, and I thought it would be like something of value to my friends and our friends. So here it is, Mike. We've been friends for a long time from New York City. He lives here now in Arizona and is crushing the game. And I'm excited for you to hear us together. And hopefully you guys get something from this and inspires you and encourage you during this time of crisis. So here it is. Have a good day. Stay up and stay positive.
Mental toughness.
Right.
It's like, come on, dude, like you can. It's easy to just, I don't know. You can make it 2 hours.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I could either eat now maybe some people would look at that and be like, that's disordered thinking. You know, like depriving yourself a life of deprivation.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not necessarily, because in 2 hours, when it's time, when I've decided that it's, you know, I've already set these boundaries, live up to those boundaries, you know, you can, like right now, it'd be easy for me to go, like, you know, have a snack or whatever.
Right. I got plenty of snacks.
Yeah. But then it's like, also, well, you told yourself that you're not going to break the fast until 2, so hold yourself to those standards.
Right.
And wait till 2 o'clock.
Right.
Don't be a pussy.
Right.
You know, which is kind of a militant way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. It works for me. You know?
I like that because that's kind of how I live because of what I've been through. I remember being really poor and I have no money. And I was like, man, like I have to, what?
I was gonna say, if this is what I don't know what your podcast is about, but if
this is good. Yeah, yeah.
If you want to recreate it, then
no, this is good. Just chatting. Yeah. No, this is good.
Oh, is it on?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is recording now.
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. This is on, baby.
I mean, I can go, I don't know if you edit this stuff, but
I could, but I just like to talk. Gotcha. Yeah, I just like, we can always,
because we can talk about stuff we were talking about when it wasn't on.
No, it's fine. We can get to it. But I like it because what you said about making more but living below your means. And I've always, like, I say, okay, what do I need to live? Okay, you got your phone. Mm-hmm. Really, if you really break it down, food, your apartment, shelter, your vehicle or transportation.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the train or it could be your car, Uber. And then you're like, okay, what does those expenses look like? Right? Like gas, whatever, the utilities. Okay. I don't know, 1,500, 2,000. Let's say 25, 2,000, let's say 2,000. Now, if you get more, a lot of times you're like, okay, I can get a better car.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's tackle another. That's $800. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
New car. Not including down payment. So you lost $10,000, $15,000, whatever. Then you got your car payment. Okay. Then you're like, you know what? Let me get a new house. I'm gonna up it up. I got a new place. Let me get a new place. Another deposit. Now you got $1,200, $1,300, $1,400 worth of rent, or if you got the house. Then you got all the stuff that comes with that house. Maintenance for the house, weeds and whatnot, light, gas, water. But then I thought about that, what you said. What if things go bad? And you have to do, where's that money? You have to maintain that amount of money per month.
There's amount of, like, don't be offended by the word I'm about to use, but like there's an honor of slavery
mm-hmm.
to all the shit that you've
I'm offended.
Tethered yourself. All the shit you've tethered yourself to.
Seriously.
And, you take, dude, life can change in like
sure.
a split second, a moment, and take, let's say we're 4 weeks into the COVID-19 and the self-quarantine and the economy and just the world shut down. Let's just call it 4 weeks. 4 weeks and a day ago, life was great. Everyone, like...
We're eating out.
Yeah. No one saw this coming. Uh-huh. Or at least maybe someone did
see it. Not America.
Maybe someone did and they just didn't release it to the masses. Or
right,
whatever,
right.
You know. So then, you know, the world gets tipped upside down and all of a sudden, okay, like, let's say, Mike, you're existing off of $2,500 a month and... Okay, I can, yeah, this sucks. I don't know how long it's going to go, but I can make it work because there's always that fear in the back of my brain of this can and will go away. And if it, you know, and if it doesn't,
cool.
I'm still after like, okay, in 10, 15 years or whatever, when it's time for me to have some freedom or I have that luxury of whatever my passion retirement job is
right.
to not have the pressure of it making X number of dollars because I need X number of dollars to live. Like I can go, you know, go, I don't know, whatever that,
right.
you know, whatever that dream is to
right.
Volunteer or
whatever you want to
go
do.
Work at a coffee shop for two grand a month.
Yeah.
And just do it because I'm happy as hell. And
right.
You know.
No, it's an interesting mindset because I'm not saying that you shouldn't get a nicer home or you should get a nicer car because that would be dumb.
If you want those things. And
go
those
for
things,
it, for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
No, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying definitely don't aspire to those things, but also just keep in back of your mind. I remember I saw this quote.
Go ahead. What's your exit strategy?
Exactly. I remember Jay-Z was saying, if you can't buy it twice, don't buy it.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Right. It does, so, like, can you really afford it?
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm saying, you live your life, but you want to ask yourself these questions because if something does happen, it's all on you. Right? Go live your life. Live a nice life. Like, nobody's saying don't get the nice house because I do want a nice car. I do want a nice place. You know, just so, because that's why I see myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to live like that. And not because, you know, I want to show off. But more so, I like to live that for my family and things like we're living comfortably. We live in a safe place. But at the same time, while you're building something, you probably want to live in this very, this zone, like my mentor. My mentor was basically a millionaire. He never flexed it.
Yeah.
He drove a minivan. He always told me, well, I said, Terry, why you don't do like you're with your brother? His brother's a successful actor and real estate investor. He'll drive up in the hood in Brooklyn with a Lambo. He'll pick me up in a Lambo, doors up.
Yeah.
I hop in, we whiplash my neck down to the Chinese restaurant on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh. I was like, Terry, why you don't? He said, I'd rather live below my means. His brother is living below his means technically because that's where his numbers are at.
Yeah.
Right? He could do more. Yeah. He lives in a brownstone on the Upper East Side. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and it goes back to purpose, meaning, why am I here? You mentioned this earlier. Why am I here? This is a good time to self-reflect. Why am I here? Like, what should I be doing with my life? Like, you know, what am I really inspired to? His was like, I want to help people. I want to be in the hood. But if I say yes to this Bentley, that's that money I can be putting towards a program.
Sure.
I can give Will to help kids get a PS4, get pizza every week, right? So it starts with a different where you're going, what you want, and then it trickles down to the lifestyle.
And if a guy wants... If you truly enjoy, you
mm-hmm.
fully enjoy nice cars,
mm-hmm.
fast cars, being flashy, attention,
mm-hmm.
like, absolutely,
sure.
do it. You need to figure out on self-reflection. Okay, what is Mike like? He likes, I'll go through some of the things that I like. It's a certain amount of freedom, being held accountable, holding myself accountable,
right,
achieving things, accomplishing things, feeling productive, kind of living my life to like my standards, not necessarily, but still existing within society, obviously. I'm not just
right.
So trying to marry all those things together, having somewhere to go, something to do, someone to love, you know, like,
yeah,
if you can get all those things in there, whatever that looks like, if that means, and if I can toss in some things like, yeah, man, I want to have a flashy car and I want to drive fast, like those are fun things, no doubt. But if it's at the expense of those other things, or if it's at the expense of my freedom because I don't have the time, you know, if my entire time is spent paying for fancy cars and that allow me to have fun and drive fast, and it's at the expense of my freedom and loving someone or receiving love from someone, well, how does, you know, what, it's not my decision to,
mm-hmm,
you know, analyze that, but,
mm-hmm,
yeah, figuring out what's important to a guy and trying to marry all those things together.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
And that can look like many different things. What is freedom to me versus freedom to Will?
Right.
Maybe that's, you know, me laying out in the sun, chilling. Maybe for you, it's traveling,
mm-hmm,
constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's who the hell knows?
Right. You know? Right. Right.
What does accomplishment look like to me?
Right.
Is that on a career? Maybe for you it's family.
Right.
Maybe, who knows? You know, right, it's just accomplishment.
But you have to ask yourself those questions.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, because then it's the only way to really put things in perspective. Then you know how to respond to life. You know what, okay, this is what I want. This is what's priority. Okay, I'm going to act as such. I'm going to perform as such. And then I can, like you said, marry both. Of course, who doesn't want a nice car? Most people do. I'm not going to say everybody does, right, but most people do, because that's what society says. Hey, like, that's you should want to get that. It's something that's a luxury, you know, something that's really nice.
And it's a sense of accomplishment.
Sure,
or,
sure.
Look, I'm into watches. I like nice watches. Aside from, certainly it's me falling into the marketing. Like, I fully acknowledge, like, marketing affects me. Of course it does. It affects everyone. Let me get a nice watch. But it's also, every time I look at the dial or look at my wrist, it's like, it's a reminder of, I worked my ass off of this.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just a nice sense of accomplishment. It's it's image, no mm-hmm. doubt. Like,
yep.
I'm absolutely susceptible to that.
Absolutely.
I acknowledge
nothing
that.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I certainly acknowledge that.
Right.
A person's style is how they're representing themselves in the world. I was going to say something else too. Oh, and so recognizing, you know, kind of holding yourself accountable, like, right, there's nothing wrong with even like right now. It's like, okay, here's a point in my life where I'm going to hunker down. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to make the money now,
mm-hmm.
work hard now, so that at some point in my life, I can have a little more freedom.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Instead of just trying to, I don't know, have entire freedom.
Right. Financial freedom.
So
you can have financial, you can just have financial freedom, and you can have freedom time.
Time. More time is kind of what I'm referring to.
Right.
Time. Time or money. You know, what's it going to be? Right now, you can have both, but you need to find the balance between those two things. And like right now, it's okay. For 15 years, dropped out of school, and for 15 years, it was just basically pursue passion at the expense of many other things,
mm-hmm.
including money.
But you still crushed modeling, the music.
Yeah.
You went hard.
Of course I did. I worked my ass off.
Right.
And so now this point in my life is like, okay, I'm tired of sacrificing so much. Let me make this portion of my life
dedicate to this.
Let me make some money.
Yeah.
Work, take that same amount of effort and drive and absolutely energy and put it into a different aspect of the world and see so much more return.
Yes.
In a shorter amount of time.
Yes.
And so that I can go back to set myself up now so that I can go back to
absolutely
what I'm passionate about. And it doesn't mean I don't like, you know, in sales, there's many things that I'm drawn to,
mm-hmm,
that I like about that job, that there are things in, you know, the music and the acting and the modeling and the photography, there are things in that world that I like that I can find in sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the, it doesn't mean that it's like everything, but there are certain aspects that I was drawn to in that world that I'm drawn to in this world, and there's correlation there.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, I'm fulfilled. And but I certainly know that, I don't know, call it 15 years or something, then I can go back to,
yeah,
the other stuff and have a little more quote-unquote freedom, not having the 100% pressure of surviving financially 100% on taking photos or playing music or,
right,
you know, some acting job or whatever.
Right. I like what you said there, Mike, because I had to come to a realization that I needed to stop pursuing passion because it wasn't giving me the return. I needed to... I didn't have enough resources.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
I'm going to interrupt you.
No, that's good.
You can find the things that you're passionate about. Let's just take your, you know, let's take photography.
Photography, yeah, yeah.
You're passionate about photography. There are things in the, what's the right word? Like the business world that you can be passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you can still find passion within the business world.
Right.
And so,
right,
I'll let you continue.
No, but you're right. No, my thing with that is it's very easy for me to start to do something. I don't like a lot of things, but I like the result of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I like, hey, I like interacting with people. So it's okay. Most jobs, it's about me interacting with people. But I like what you said about, hey, I had to stop doing what I was like really enjoying, that I was really good at, necessarily to get something that can give me a quicker return in the same, if not less time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can get to a place when I'm, and this is where I think maturity comes in too, because you're starting to understand like, hey, if I can get the money and put it to the side.
Yes.
Like, hey, I'm gonna
let it grow. Invest it properly.
And then I can come back. It's not saying I'm going to deny this, but I'm going to, hey, I'm starting doing
delay
that.
It. You're not going to deny it. You're going to delay it.
I love that. You're going to delay it, put it to the side for now. And if not, keep it in your mind, maybe jog, write about it, you know, grow it on the side on paper. But you're going to, practicality, if that's not bringing what you need in, because you need money, it's reality. And only get the comfortability comes from having enough resources to free up the time. Say, hey, if I have $100,000, okay, cool. Now I can actually go back to my passion. I could put maybe 10,000 of that. If I saved up 100,000,
mm-hmm,
now I can put 10 of that into the marketing of my music or the marketing to my model. I can get into some friends, some people. I can get better photographers, whatever the case is. For me, maybe I can put some money. I can fly to a couple of schools. Right? And get it, do it for free, offer my time. Yeah. That may look like for me, but I need to have that initial capital so that I'm released to say, oh, I have an extra 10,000. Let me go to these schools. Hey, I'm gonna come to school. I just wanna talk. I can do that because I've took maybe 2, 3, 4 years.
Or 15.
Yeah. Or it could be 15.
Yeah.
Right? And say, hey, like I now I have close to $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, whatever the case is. Or you could do other things that creates income, but you're not really good at. This is where I'm at. All right, I'm going to do photography. How do I create more income stream from this? Okay, let me start a business in which we're going to provide content for small businesses. How do we grow that? I need a team because I can't be everywhere. There's enough work for multiple people. So now I got to grow the business. I got to bring people into that. Bring photographers, videographers. Give them opportunity to shoot. It fulfills me because I'm being able to provide a job for someone. Pay them. Then I'm released because now I'm freed up to do. I'm still getting some money from that transaction. Because now I'm more like an agency in a sense. I'm hiring. I'm a business. I'm getting a cut. And now they're getting paid. And I'm able to step back a little bit. I'm not taking the photo. So now I can, at that time, the 6 hours of that shoot, show up, editing. I freed up 6 hours. So I can be with the boys, or this, that, you know?
Right.
So it's a very, I like what you said. Because I think a lot of times people say, you know what? I'm just going to crash that dream. It's never going to happen. I'm just going to get the money. No, delay it. But you got to focus. You got to say, okay, I want that, but I'm going to work in this job. I'm going to get a corporate job because a lot of people don't want to get a corporate job, yeah. Which is crazy because if you think about it, even in crisis, large corporate jobs have stability. They're going to get bailed out. Why? Because they're bringing, they hire the most and they're pushing more money into the economy than a small business would. So, of course, they're going to get bailed out. So don't discount the corporate job. Get the benefits. Get all your health stuff checked out.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, like, particularly our age, like, forget them corporate. I'm going to do freelance. Remember that was a conversation for a few years?
Yeah.
People like, oh, no, be freelance. I'm like, bro, like, the corporate job, it's not wrong with the corporate job. It's just your mindset toward it. Mm-hmm. What are you moving for? I used a corporate job to fund Dance for Change. Remember that?
Yeah.
I used that corporate job to fund that. Because my focus, like, okay, what was I doing before that? I was working somewhere, but I wasn't making enough. And I knew, okay, I needed to pay for dance classes, I had to pay for teachers, I had to pay for promo. Where's that money coming from? So I had to get a corporate job. Yeah. That allowed me, and now it's still growing, we're doing part. You know what I mean? And like, so that's the principle there.
The dream, you said something where it said, like, you don't have to let the dream die. But you can put it on pause or you can revisit it and, you know, call it, I just keep saying 15 years, you know, so like,
it's fine
because I envision it takes, you know, maybe it's going to take me just kind of the way I'm projecting my life. Obviously you can't predict, there's no crystal ball, but you can plan ahead for sure. You know, call it 15 years to
maybe 50, right?
Yeah, so 50-ish.
50-ish?
Yeah, so...
Close to 50.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, I'm 37 now, so call it 15 years, you know, low 50s. That's set myself up, like I have my budget saving enough right now so that I can retire at 50. That's like the 15-year plan, right?
Right.
Knowing it's going to take that amount of time to, like, live the life I want to live. Like, let's say I want to retire at 50, make no money, zero income, live the life I want to live, based on my retirement plan. Okay. Now that's based on, I'll get back to the initial thought. That's based on everything remaining constant. Me making the same amount of money, having the same amount of expense, nothing changing. Obviously that is not a reality.
Right. Something will change. Right.
Things will change.
Right. Rent will go up. Yeah.
Well, I mean, my income has already gone up. Like I've made more money. So that just means that I save more money, so that just moves the timeline forward.
Sure.
However, one can expect your expenses to stay the same. Maybe I find myself where I'm having a child. Okay, now that just means that you need to reevaluate, readjust. That pushes the timeline back.
Right.
I mean, maybe it keeps the timeline the same and I just need to make more money. Whatever. Mm-hmm. There's just tons of different variables, right? Mm-hmm. So, drop out of school, 15 years of my life was just dedicated towards passion, art,
right?
You know, not getting a quote-unquote normal job, coming to the realization that I just can't make this work, I can't, I'm just sacrificing too much. Quality life isn't there.
Right.
Okay, let me make a shift. And now I'm going to spend this next 15 years earning money, essentially, still finding joy in life and fulfillment in my chosen path of the way I'm making money.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm 50, decide what that dream or passion is. Maybe it's going back to what it originally was. Maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's entirely something different. Maybe it is, I got a kid and my passion now is spending time with my kid. Maybe it's an entirely different passion. Maybe it has nothing to do with the arts. Maybe it's just fishing.
Who knows?
Maybe it's
a lot of time.
Maybe it's still, maybe it's working. Maybe it's like, hey, you know what? I'm at 50 right now and I don't want to stop. I love what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's, who, you know, it's, there's no,
sure,
no
sure.
way. It's just basically setting yourself up for that. When I hit 50, okay, now I have the freedom to choose. And I'm not married to this horrible job or something because I need to just be a slave to whatever this circumstance is because I didn't plan ahead or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just where I'm at now.
No, it's good. I mean, I once, you know, I did this observation years ago and I was like, if you look at people that are really successful in their careers and in just in life, they're in their 50s. People that are really, if you really think about it, like the majority, the average of people that are really like, hey, I got my stuff together, or like I got enough money, I'm retired, it's around 50. So the reality of, not saying you can't aspire to retire at 32 or 20, because you can, but you have to have something big, something that can scale quickly, like a startup or something like that, or an e-commerce business that you're just getting boatloads of money, you're doing something once, work out, whatever. But the reality, the average person, the average says, hey, shoot for 50 to kind of be in this place. The expectations say, hey, I'm not trying to just be a millionaire before 30, which you can aspire to. There's nothing wrong with that, but manage your expectation. Say, hey, I'm a work.
Yeah. What do I need to do to get there on a monthly level, weekly level,
sure,
daily level?
Make $1 million a
what
month.
Does that look
you
like?
Need a, what's that, $120,000 a month?
I've never done the math, but
it's around like, it's tax, $120,000 a month times 12, $1.2 million, you know, take taxes in consideration. Whatever, you know, that's, you're barely making $1 million, you know, so you need to be making close to $150,000 without tax.
Sure.
So how do you make $150,000 a month? It's the question, right? So if you want to be a millionaire before 30, what are you doing right now? Because you got to go super hard. But if you say, hey, 50 years, I can diversify my portfolio. I'm going to build this business. I can put money aside in this money market, retirement, whatever, 401k or Roth IRA, whatever you know, how you're going to put it in there. And you say, okay, well, let's do the numbers. You can get a rough number to get the million or be wherever you want to be, that number that you're comfortable with. But I think what you said, I like that you're saying 50 because that's generally a general number where people felt like, hey, I made it. I'm comfortable.
It's just,
like,
it's based
on... It's realistic.
I came up with 50 just because only 50 years old, you still got energy.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
To, yeah, I mean, knowing myself.
Yeah,
I,
yeah,
you, know,
yeah, for sure. Most, I mean, maybe. Who knows?
You know, 50 years old, that is still a lot of years ahead of you.
Right.
To enjoy stuff, you
yeah,
know, like
30 years, you got 38, 40 years, yeah.
Yeah, you know, mentally, physically,
yeah.
I mean, you got some time on your belt, you got experience, you can appreciate things, you got the physical energy to go do what
yeah.
you want to do.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, let me plan to retire at 70. It's like, you know, what, depending on the individual.
Right.
What does a 70-year-old look like? You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe you got then, what, 10 years?
10, 15?
And that, I mean, that is,
Yeah.
When I think about 10 years ago.
It feels like yesterday.
So, I mean, it seems fast, but, you know, sometimes it feels long, sometimes it feels fast. From what I'm told, as you age, time goes faster. So if, to a 70-year-old, 10 years, probably nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know because I'm not 70 years old and I'm not 50 years old and I don't know how fast time is perceived as you get older, like, to that regard.
Yeah.
My experience with it is, like, when I was in school and it was the last day of school and you had summer vacation ahead of you, which was 3 months,
mm-hmm.
it felt like an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's my experience now. If you tell me, Mike, in 3 months, you're going to be going on vacation or whatever, feels like nothing, dude. Right? Obviously. To a 10-year-old, 3 months feels like 3 years. To a 37-year-old, 3 months is nothing.
You're living to the fullest level at that point. You're just doing everything you can.
Yeah, you got nothing to worry about. Yeah. Right? So maybe that's more of an extreme example. However, Still an example of a 70-year-old.
Same, yeah. What are you really going to do? Your body's tired, you know.
No, who knows? My point is, to a 70-year-old, 10 years is going to be perceived differently than 10 years to a 37-year-old.
Absolutely.
Or a 50-year-old, you know, so.
I like that.
So that's just where I chose 50, you know, maybe. And again, that's a moving target. It's just, I chose 50 so that I had a starting point of what does 37 to 50 look like so that when I hit 50, I can do it.
Right.
You know, maybe it turns into 45. Maybe it turns into 55. I don't know. I'll know when I get there.
Right. That's the only way.
But it at least is a, it's not this hypothetical, theoretical. It puts a very specific plan into place of, like, monthly, you know, not necessarily daily, at least for me, but certainly monthly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is per month, what do I need to do
right
for the next 15-ish years?
Just have a plan.
Yeah.
Just have a plan.
And at the very least, that just settles my brain. So I'm not constantly spinning the wheels. And it breaks it down so it's way more manageable. It's hard to manage 15 years.
Yeah.
It's way easier to manage a month.
Right. A day.
Yeah. If you want to get that extreme.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I that's how I do it. So I will break down, obviously you have what you're going to do for the month, but I was telling them what I'm on right now, what I'm teaching right now is you got to learn how to manage your day if you're going to manage 15, right? Because what you do on a daily basis reflects the 15. So, okay, you're going to go to work. You're going to get a check. How much money are you going to put away? You know, how are you going to live your life? You know, you got those small little things, like I'm going to drink water. If I want to be in good health 15 years from now to live that life, how do I have to live now?
Right.
I got to eat my veggies. I got to exercise. Do the small little things. Today.
There's a thing that I have written on my refrigerator right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, I do a bunch of reading and there's little nuggets I pick up. Two of them over the years have been, and this is exactly in line with what you said, is mm-hmm. one is carry the water, chop the wood. Carry the water, chop the wood. Carry the water, chop the wood. Just do the work, right? Whatever that means to a person. And tiny things every day, drip, 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 right? It's success to me, in my experience, has just been do the little teeny tiny things every day consistently over a long period of time. That turns into success.
Mm-hmm.
Get up, just carry the water, just chop the wood. If you...
Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. That's simple.
If you do that daily, like, you look back... Oh, shoot, man, I'm chopping the wood. Over the course of the month, you look behind you, holy shit, I just chopped down that forest. Right, but...
Because it was a mindset. You was capable, but you didn't manage it. Like, okay, I'm going to do this today. I'm going
to
get up.
It starts with just, I need to just take that first mm-hmm. swing.
Get up. Just get up. Put your shoes on. Take one step, one step, one mm-hmm. step. And after you realize, you're like, oh shit, I saved up. I remember when I first learned this, Terry was like, after every check, because I was in high school and I got my first job at a Mexican restaurant, loved it. And I get my check, because I was a young kid in high school, never really had money, it was my first job. I went to downtown Times Square, and I worked right down Times Square. I would go to the DC store. Remember Times Square, there was a DC store? Mm-hmm. Used to go to the Foot Locker, that used to be right there, down mm-hmm. there. So every week, got a new pair of sneakers. Every week. And he was like, I want you to try this. When you get your check, do 10%. Do 10%, just put in your savings. I didn't want to do that. And I said, you know, I'll do that. 10%? Eh. So if you make 300, you're going to put $30 in there. Mm-hmm. So I did that over 6 months. Didn't even realize. It was coming automatically. He said, just do it automatic. Like, just have the bank take it out. You're not even going to see it. You don't. It's $30. Next time, no, I'm looking at my savings. I was like, shit, my savings is actually caught up with what my checking, because I was spending all of it. And I was like, oh, snap. You know, like, this is that principle. I was like, yo, Terry, I got like $1,000 in this joint. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, that's what happens when you, like, save.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to put some more. Because you didn't even think about it.
Right.
You just, like, especially if you set it up that way.
So then let's say instead of just putting it in a savings account, let's say you put that in the stock market.
Oh, boy. If I would have did...
Right.
Boy. I always beat myself about it.
If it's just going to be sitting there, and I am by no means any financial planner.
Sure.
But smart enough to realize instead of just let it sit there and collect dust and actually lose money or because of friggin' inflation,
mm-hmm.
toss it somewhere and turn it into it into a vehicle where at least there's going to be
something's moving. Yeah. It's moving. It's being circulated.
Yeah.
So I started to do that later on, like in my 20s when I got out of the military. I started to like open up money accounts, mutual funds, things like that, just experimenting. And I started to see, you know, I remember I did, what was it? What's that F1? Remember the purple one, the green one, those money market where you can put money in? Fidelity, remember, you ever heard of that? So it's a money market. It's like a money market. So you could open up a stock account and put money in there. So I remember doing that, and it was just like I started to see like mutual funds. You don't see like $5 go out here. You know, you couldn't touch it because it was being invested, and it was just very interesting. You know, but I think a lot of times that's not really taught. It's not something that they're gonna just teach you. Either go to school, or you just maybe somebody around you is doing it.
I wish they taught that shit in school.
Dude, you know how much...
Dude, instead of... I'm whatever. Trigonometry, it is what it is. Whatever, but...
The real stuff.
If they taught you... What is it like to apply for a loan? What does your credit score mean?
Dude.
What is it like to... My God, I don't know. Just... What is the stock market?
Yeah.
You know, and before... Teaching that shit before you get to college and you have to take
an
economics class or whatever... Just teach that shit to kids because, how many times a day I talk to someone, maybe not so much in this now like luxury world, but like the domestic world previously, people just had no clue what it was to get a loan, to apply for a loan, what their bureau, credit bureau and credit profile, what that meant and entailed and...
Mm-hmm.
How the banks look at you in black and white to get approved or not approved for a loan. And people coming in and submitting credit applications and they're, you know, 40-some years old and just total ghosts because they just paid everything in cash, which is fine. That's great. You know, if you just pay your shit in cash, that's fine, whatever. But when it comes time to get a loan, the bank's not going to give it to you because...
History.
You have no history of being able to present that you have the responsibility to pay for the shit.
Right.
If they taught that shit to 10, 12, absolutely. You know, even absolutely. In high school.
Absolutely.
Teach it in high school, make it a required class.
Dude, you're training a generation
yes.
of different consumers.
Then. And,
boy. Mm-hmm. It'd be less spending, that's for sure. And more of that knowledge. Like, oh, wait, I could put that in and I'm going to get this.
And I.
Boy.
I mean, I just thought, it never made sense to me growing up or whatever. Like, I see all these brand new cars, or even, you know, my parents buying cars. It's like, how are you, like, I didn't know what a loan was. I was just like, I was under the impression that in order for me to buy a brand new car, I have to save 30, 40, 50 grand or whatever. It's like, holy shit, like, how am I going to do that? It just didn't, you know, and then the idea of a loan just never made sense to me until, I don't know, you just, somehow you pick it up. I don't know where I picked it up.
Right, life, just like, oh, I need to get a loan? Okay, cool.
But yeah, what is a loan?
Yeah.
How does a loan work?
Yeah.
If they fucking touch that shit,
dude, it'd be different. Kids would be coming out of school
different. And that's the stuff where you need...
Sure.
There's value in trigonometry, I suppose, somewhere in the world. Not in my world.
Not in most worlds.
But trigonometry was taught to algebra, every high school kid.
Everywhere, yeah.
Algebra, there's some value there.
Yeah.
Basic math, of course. Of course, you have to have that. English, communication. Like you, there are certain skills that you need to have in life to thrive and exist.
However,
You know,
that stuff,
the basic,
is what they're going to be dealing with on throughout their whole adult year.
Yes.
Loans.
What makes the world go round? Trigonometry does not make the world go round.
So if they would have learned this in high school,
at least not in my world.
Most, you know, that's not taught. And this is another topic for later, how the system works, because they want you to be a consumer. They train you to be a consumer, you can go out and spend. But if the kids knew how credit worked, they wouldn't go to college, just because college, they get hammered with credit cards. They get open up a credit card.
Yeah,
dude, you know how many credit cards?
Free
and
money.
You free money?
Yeah.
And then, I got you.
Yeah.
But if they really understood it and how it worked, I'm not saying don't get a credit card. It's a good way to build credit. Excellent way. Still one of the excellent ways.
It's an okay way, in my
opinion. Well, at least earlier,
sure. For an 18-year-old?
Yeah. Hey, let me take care of all my bills. Let me put all my bills on a credit card because I'm going to pay it anyway. So, hey, look, phone bill, lights, whatever
you're expensive. Pay it off, yeah. Just make
pay
sure
it off.
Pay that shit.
Right, pay it off. You're going to pay it anyway, so
yeah.
just have that recycled.
Get your points, get your free miles, whatever.
Dude, now when you come out of college, obviously you'll have that debt, but you don't want to have both. You don't want to have bad credit, and then you can't pay. You can't find a job, which that's another story. You come out, let's say you do get a good job, as you're supposed to come out of college. Now you're paying off your student loan. At least now you can go get a car because you need to get around. And like, oh wow, you have great credit coming out of college. Crazy. How you get a 700 credit score? Because you probably, if they'd have learned that in high school, they could start building credit. And a lot of parents use their kids' credit. Social to get credit cards. That's another story. Terrible. Because their credit is terrible. You can get credit on your kid, which is bad. Don't ever do that. But if they learned that and got that through college, and then when they come into adult life, hey, babe, I got you. Your relationships are better. Because now you're getting a girl that you can hit. We can get a car. I can get a house. You're more stable. You're more successful. That attracts that type of person.
Right now, I think a person's credit score is just an indication of their lifestyle. Like,
yeah.
If I was on a first date and you'd say,
"What's your credit score?"
Yeah, what's one question? I'd say, "What's your credit score,
dude?"
It's an indication of like,
it's an indication
of your lifestyle.
Sure. Like, I mean, of course, things happen.
Get your shit together.
Yeah, it does. But if they knew that, too, like, oh yeah, my credit score. Some people jacked up their credit score because they didn't know. They kept applying for shit. They kept, you know, because you apply, that goes down. You get denied, it goes down. Like, they keep applying. I was like, dude, like, chill out.
But you know, like, the banks see, if you're applying, let's say you're shopping for a car.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, within the course of a month, if you're putting, you know, 10 or 15inquiries on your bureau, the banks know what's going on.
Right,
They're not going to jack up your credit score.
No,
because they see, okay, this person is shopping for a car. They're trying to get.
Right.
They understand that there's more to the picture than
just going
inquiry.
Right. However, even if you're going to be doing that, and if you're not, I'm not saying if you're purchasing a car, a home, or whatever the case is, just having an understanding of how it works, because yeah. I've had a lot of people just applying. I'm like, dude, like, chill out. You know what I mean? Like, so I like that idea. I've always like, hey, you need to teach financial literacy better.
And yeah, to just make it general.
Yeah, financial literacy.
Curriculum instead of let me seek it out.
Mm-hmm. This should be the norm because they're going to use it.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
Like,
shit, I didn't even know to seek it out.
Exactly.
You know? How would I know, oh shit, as a, you know, 15-year-old or 16-year-old, oh shit, well, I better figure out what loans are all about. Right. No, like, you didn't think about that.
No.
You just learn what's presented to you.
Right.
Oh, okay, so now I'm going to trigonometry class, and I keep saying trigonometry.
I get it. Because you hated it.
It's not that I hated it, I just didn't see it. What
am I going to do with this?
What do I care what the angle of this triangle is? How is this
right? I'll be an architect or what?
Yeah. If you're going to be an architect, then go learn
Right.
Okay? It's like, okay, I'm trucking off to my trig class, and I'm going to learn it, and I'm going to do the best I can at it because it's presented to me, and I'm a 15-year-old kid. And I...
They said I need to learn this.
And you just do it. You sit down, you learn it, and you do the best you can, and... You don't think about... You have no concept of...
No.
I'm going to know... Oh, shoot. You know, I'm going to need to know what a loan is. And I'm going to... What does it entail to buy a house?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would you even conceive that? Because...
It's not presented.
Yeah.
It's just you trying to be a kid, live life, play Pokemon.
And do good in school. Good, it's like...
Have friends. That's all. That's all. Now, I had a class in high school. It was a chess class. It was a chess life class. So he taught life stuff through chess. Talked about like moving your queen, being strategic in life, thinking three steps ahead. And it was really got the wheels turning. And then when I had a mentor, obviously I had that, even my wheels were turning more. But it was classes like that that I remember more than any other class. Because I remember like, oh yeah, I need to think ahead. I need to watch out for my queen. My queen is... My personality, like the integrity, this, that, you know, it was very like integrated in life. And you teach that stuff because that's the stuff that's going to really matter. Like, of course, you know, basic math. You need to learn how to write. You need to learn how to know how to
communication, time management.
Time management. Be on time in class. Be respectful to authority. Just be respectful of people's feelings and people around. I mean, you learn a lot in school. But like you said, I think that's a missing piece. In schools, and I'm not sure if the system at B will want that to happen.
Maybe so maybe it is, and now we're kind of treading on like conspiracy theory shit. Maybe, and I'm not naive enough to know that there's keeping the masses like sheep.
Sure.
You know,
focus on this.
It's like, don't teach them this because it's too much knowledge and power. And if they know this, we don't have them underneath our thumbs.
Yeah.
You know, if they know...
Sure.
Yeah, it's... We have control of them if we're managing...
Right.
This,
and I,
this
I,
world that they don't understand.
And I get it. Because the more people are in there, the more money they're losing. Right? Because now I'm aware of that. Oh, I can build credit. I can build points. Not manipulate the system, but I can utilize this for my benefit and my family. So if I'm using the credit cards, not to buy stuff, but to build up my credit, now I got a job and I'm paying things off, now I have excellent credit, excellent rapport in the world, but I'm still 25, and I go get a business loan, because now I have good credit, I can get a business loan. They're going to approve me for, say, $100,000, I'm opening up a dry cleaners, that dry cleaners is going to produce $250,000, open up another dry cleaners. That's how money works. You get a loan, you get debt, you create something that's income generating, that thing, you make it, you bring in more profit so that you can expand it, build another one. That's why people buy homes, they flip it. That's why people buy homes and you rent it out. Because that shit is building way more, now you buy another one. But if you teach people that, if that was the norm, why is that not the norm? Why is that not being taught? Like, hey... Dude, build your credit because then you can get a business loan. What do you want to do in life? Your credit's attached to where you want to be. I'm telling you that right now. Your credit, if you want to be a doctor, you want to be this, you want to be that, it doesn't matter. Your credit is going to determine if you're going to be able to get, how easy that's going to get. So if that's taught, they're like, oh, I need to get my credit up because I want to be that. And if you break it down, compound interest, how that works. Dude, kids would be like, yeah, there was a program I was just telling my girlfriend about. There was a program, remember Commerce Bank? That red bank, that red...
I remember the bank, I don't...
So Commerce Bank, it was red before it was bought out by TD Bank. TD Bank is green. So Commerce Bank used to have this program where you can actually trade stock. It was fake, it was a fake stock market. But it was real, like real numbers of what the stock market is. So they gave kids opportunities to buy and trade on the fake marketplace. So they gave them money. Say, here's $5,000. Trade, and they were learning how to trade. It was an old program. They discontinued it. They stopped it. You probably could pull it up and probably see like images of what it looked like. But I remember my mentor telling me about that. I was like, that's a powerful thing. They should keep that going. Because you're teaching kids, hey, if I put $10 in the right investment, I can make $1,000 over a period of five years. Shit. And I didn't even do anything. I just put $10 in there and just let it rock. And I got $10,000? Okay. You know what I mean? Like, all things being equal. But if you taught that, imagine the mindset of these kids coming out. Like, oh, shit. Like, I'm just going to work and put money in the money market. I mean, be wise about it. But you start to think about it. Like, oh, wait. Nike about to drop something. Because, you know, especially if the things that you like, you can see. Like, okay. She buying Gucci more? Okay. Let me buy some Gucci stock. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, Nikes. I remember my guy used to work for the bank, the broker. He's a broker down there. Nice guy. I met him at church. He said, well, let me give you a tip. If whatever you see on the ground level, that's an indicator, sometimes an indicator of what's popping in the market. So you can probably see it on the ground if you're paying attention. A lot of times they're not seeing, they're looking on the analytics, how many numbers, people buying shoes. But you're on the ground, you can see, I see a Kate Spade bag. Anybody's buying Kate Spade bags? I need a pay attention to that, especially in New York, because you can see a boatload of companies at one time. Wait, Nike's okay. Oh wait, oil going up. Okay. If you pay attention, if your mind is in tune with it, you'll start seeing it. I remember, I seen his car is orange, right? I'd never seen that color before, like in that car. All of a sudden, me and Kat start to see these fucking orange Subarus around the fucking valley. I'm like, where are these coming from? Because if your mind is locked in on it, you start to see it. But it was always there.
Right. That was
that's the point. Yeah. It's always been there, but now you're locked in. And when you just said the powers that be, if they take your mind off of it, say, hey, get these new Gucci's, just purchase, and not look at where the money really is. So now you know what I mean? Like, it's a different perspective of how I was seeing things. And once I started to learn that, I was like, okay. That's kind of where I want to teach, because you can do many things. You know, you can do whatever you want in your life, you know, but if you really want to make a difference, if you want to like your life to mean something, like I've always told, I want my life to mean something. Like when I die, I want people to say, hey, Will was a good guy. Like he cared. That's all. Like, I don't care. Money, it'd be great. I'm a millionaire. I'm a billionaire. It'd be great. But he cared. You know what I mean? Like he really cared about family, his friends. He took time. That's the stuff I want people to talk about. You know, and that's kind of where I always wanted to be, is like, man, if like, I die tomorrow, like, what would Mike say at my funeral? Like, he was a good dude.
I would say.
You know, what would he say? Like, what would Nathan say? You know, like, so if I die tomorrow, I'm like, I'm always trying to like, hey, Nate, do you need something? Not to, because I'm anticipating I'm about to die, but I want to have a positive impact on his life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Hey, you need anything? You need the key? You know, I'm going to head out. Because when I die, that's it. That's all that's going to be said. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. When you're dead, people will be like, you're gone. You're done. Like, the Kobe whole thing, like, people are like, man, you hear all these stories. Like, man, Kobe really did a lot for individuals. But we never know that, because those stories will never come up until you either retired or they did a documentary, right? But you hear all these stories, like, yeah, he came to my games. Like, well, yeah, time to do that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, that's the type of stuff I want people to say about me when I'm gone. Like, yo, Will, like, I remember that time Will took his time and traveled all to Jersey to come see me on my show. Like, you have to do that. Like, no way. You know what I mean? I want that.
I'll say this. When you're sitting here right now, it's probably more valuable for you to hear this now instead of when you're dead.
Yeah.
You are one of the rare people, at least in my life. I have very, very few people in my life where I like feel like I can connect with on many different levels. And it's, you know, shoot, there can be years where I don't see you or talk to you. And then it's just, you know, I'm sure you know where this is going. You just pick up right where you left off.
Right.
Rare people in my life like that. Yeah. There's many people that it's like they enter my life and they're around for a little bit and then they just kind of dwindle off and they're gone and I don't stay in touch. And, you know, shoot, met you in New York instantly, just whatever. There was vibrations there. It's like, you know, I don't know what it is, but I'm just connecting with this guy and seems like a cool guy and we seem to be, I don't know, man.
We're just creating good work.
Yeah, it's just like you can't.
Yeah.
Quite put your finger on it, but it's like, you know, I don't know, I kind of get this guy and I feel like he kind of gets me and, you know, whatever. And then, shoot, I hadn't seen you for a few years, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're out here. I said, hey, you know, I'm coming on out and, you know, whatever. It's just pick up right from the New York days.
Seriously.
And that's a rare thing.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. It's, I don't know, you're one of those guys.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, when I met you, I was like, man, he knows what he wants. That's what I always remembered about you. He's like, hey, this is the shot I want. I remember you were like this. Remember we were in Soho. You were in that blazer with the boots, and you're like, when you lean in like this in the photo. Remember you said that? He's like, when you seen lean in, it's more power. I never forgot what you said. The thing that you said was like, yeah. I remember telling other models like, hey, lean in. Because it's power. I was saying basically what you said. You know, I was like, man, this guy knew what he's doing. And yeah, we just connect. We just click. You know, we saw the hustle. We were producing good work. I wanted to shoot with more male models. You're literally probably the only male model I shot with in New York, really. If we're being honest, like, you're like the only consistent one.
Yeah.
And it's good. Like, and I was like happy that we stayed in contact and, you're here now. You're just still the same, crushing it. Obviously, you've grown, obviously, mentally and physically and whatnot. And it's a good thing. Like you said, it is rare. I only have a few really good friends. Like, really, I can count it. You know what I mean? Like, that I still kind of, like, my best friend in San Francisco, I didn't even call him on his birthday. But, like, me and him, like, he doesn't call me on my birthday either, but it's okay.
Right.
Because we got that relationship. You know, and I can call him right now. I'm like, yo, John, what's going on? How are you guys doing up there with the family? You got the baby? How you doing? Yeah, we're good. Yo, remember that time we were at the coffee shop and you told me about that principal? Yeah. It's just like that. Like,
yep.
You can count it.
There's never, there's a lot of people where it's like, I would hang out and I'd be struggling. Like, I need to fill the void. What should we talk about? There's nothing to talk about. That shit doesn't happen here, like, between you and me. And there's few people in my life where I can just, like, feel comfortable.
Right.
Feel at ease. Those are the people that I want to spend time with. Those are the people I want in my life.
Yeah. That's tight.